What do you mean by that?
Well, Elvis summed it all up. Good manners are simply about treating each other nicely. All right? It's just as simple as that. But it seems that good manners have gone the way of 8-track tapes and transistor radios. I don't know. Kids, are they being taught manners anymore? Even older people. We've lost sight of basic gentility and civility. And perhaps it's time that we go back to some of the basics. Welcome back. I'm Mary Starrett. And this afternoon, you're listening to True Talk 800 AM. My guest this afternoon has written a book. The book is simply called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. Now, lest you think your mother taught you everything you needed to know about good manners and behaving civilly in society, think again. My guest is a professor at Johns Hopkins University, and he teaches a course on civility. He's also a professor of Italian literature. He studied at the University of Venice, the University of Pavia, Catholic University in Milan, University of California in Los Angeles, and he received a PhD in Italian literature at UCLA. He also directs something called Reassessing, actually, he is a co-director of Reassessing Civility, Forms and Values at the End of the Century, an international symposium. Interestingly enough, he was on, has been on National Public Radio doing a series of commentaries called Speaking of Manners. His name is Dr. Pierre Massimo Forni, otherwise known as PM Forni. Doctor, nice to have you with us.
Good afternoon, Mary. Thank you for having me.
You know, one of the reasons why I was intrigued about this, because I looked at who you were, and when I think of civility, when I think of manners, I think about my grandfather. He was an Italian immigrant. He was a tailor. He wasn't terribly well-educated, in contrast to you, obviously, but he was a man who embodied civility and good manners. He was, I can remember him watering the grass in his suit and tie. He was really a gentleman. And I think about that, and I wonder why that doesn't exist anymore, why so many people are so coarse and so crude. Why do you think that is?
Well, there are many reasons. What is true is that many Americans believe that we are witnessing a crisis in civility. And I think that among the many causes are anonymity, stress, and the pursuit of individual identity in a society of equals. The first two are rather straightforward. When we live in an anonymous environment, we have fewer incentives to behave civilly to one another because we think that our transgressions will go unchecked and unpunished. When we are stressed and fatigued, we are less tolerant of others and of others' mistakes, and very often we are inclined to burst into rudeness. But also, we are very much intent in pursuing our identity and in leaving a mark in our society of equals. How do we do that? Well, we do that by achieving, by rushing towards our professional goals. And in our headlong race, very often we don't think we have the luxury to slow down just to be nice to the people around us. We are very self-centered. This, especially in ordinary times. Now, in extraordinary times, like the ones that we experienced, for instance, a year ago after September 11, then we reassess our priorities, and we are more inclined to be kind and considerate.
There was a Good Housekeeping survey in April of this year that showed that the majority of readers felt that people are ruder now than they were just 10 years ago. 42% say that they encounter that rude behavior every day. If you were, doctor, to narrow it down to just a few things that we could all change regarding our behavior, what would the majority of them be? What would the majority of offenses fall into what particular categories?
There is one essential category, and that's the lack of attention and the lack of awareness of others, self-centeredness. It is by being so focused upon ourselves, our needs, our perceptions, our goals, that we forget those who are around us. There are many possible definitions of civility and good manners, but a very good one is that civility is awareness. When are we civil? We are civil when we are constantly aware of others and we weave restraint, respect, and consideration into the very fabric of this awareness. So lack of awareness is tantamount to incivility, to coarseness, to rudeness. Awareness is tantamount to civility and the survival of civilization. Another way of saying it is that we are civil when we discover that others bruise as easily as we do, and we decide that that matters to us. So all these considerations show that when we talk about civility and manners, we are not talking about trivial matters. We are talking about ethical concerns. We are talking about how to lead the good life in a society, in a community, in the city. Civility comes from the Latin word civitas, that means city. So another possible definition of civility is the characteristic of the good citizen and the good neighbor.
You know, I growing up, my parents were very strict about manners, and I know a lot of my contemporaries' parents were as well. Why is it that we, as a generation, have typically not followed suit with our own children? Why are our children and our children's children really such brats?
Because the parents of our generation, the parents belonging to the generation that was born after the war, the baby boomers, decided that what was most important in raising their children was to raise the self-esteem of their children. And they believed that using discipline, trying to discipline the children, trying to teach them manners, which means telling them self-restraint, would conflict with the raising of self-esteem. So between self-esteem and self-restraint, they chose self-esteem. And that was an understandable choice. Very often it was a noble choice. It was done very often for the with the best of intentions, but it had very, very dire consequences.
That's a great assessment. That makes an awful lot of sense. If I hear the word self-esteem one more time, what I don't think people realize is that when you're building self-esteem, you have to have something to hold yourself in esteem of. And the only way you can do that is to achieve and to have done something worthy of esteem. But to say, I got to feel good about me even if I'm just a worthless.
Well, we live in the era of content-free self-esteem. That's very unfortunate. When we have things to be proud of, it is just to be proud of those things. When children do something that is worthy of a reward, they need to be praised. They need to be rewarded. But it has to be content-filled self-esteem and not content-free self-esteem.
That's a great point. Let's talk specifically about the rules, the 25 rules of considerate conduct. What's number one? You said pay attention is the most important thing. Acknowledging others, let's move on from there.
Yes. I put pay attention to number one because, in a way, all rules of civility, all rules of good manners derive from that. You cannot have civility as you cannot have love without attention. Everything begins in attention, because attention means transcend the immediate needs of our own selves, to transcend our own immediate needs and desires, and being aware of others. I'm going back to the issue of awareness. Attention and awareness are very close to each other, and you have one with the other usually. But it's not enough. Not only you have to be aware of others, their needs, their desires, their discomfort, you also have to be ready to do something about that. So attention and action should go together. All other rules like listen, be inclusive, speaking kindly of others, accepting and giving praise, respecting other opinions, all these rules are important rules of civility. They are the rules that define us as good people, as nice people, as people that other people want to be around. But, in essence, they all derive by rule number one, that is, pay attention and do something about it.
I like rule number 13, and I think that that should be made into a law. As I'm sitting there at a light, listening to some kid in his car with the sound level blowing out my eardrums, and I think about the fact that, you know what, you really need to keep it down.
That's right. Especially in an era in which we are so concerned about pollution, we sometimes forget that there is a form of pollution that is noise pollution. And when we keep it down, we are ecologists of quiet, so to speak. I have coined this expression for that rule. And I think we should take pride in being ecologists of quiet. I think that Americans are among the, contrary to the belief of many of my fellow Europeans, are very civil, especially in certain areas of life. And the area of ecological awareness is one about which Americans take pride. Protecting the environment, but also respecting animals. Since they are good ecologists, they are also good ecologists of quiet sometimes. But they are not as good when it comes to quiet as they are in other areas of pollution. So it's important that we all start to be more serious about whispering our way through life rather than screaming our way through life.
All right, let's take a break. And our guest is Dr. Pierre Massimo Forni. He wrote the book Choosing Civility. It's published by St. Martin's Press. We'll talk about a few of the other rules of good manners, like apologizing, avoiding personal questions, being a considerate guest, and thinking twice before asking for favors. Interesting. Choosing civility when we come back here on True Talk 800 AM.
Firsthand, the pain of losing someone addicted to drugs and alcohol. About 8 years ago, Terry lost her husband to HIV related to drug use. Her husband had gone from being a loving, caring partner in marriage and life to a distant, selfish drug addict in just a few short years. As he slipped into a personal hell, which Terry could never understand, she stood by her husband watching the man she loved wither away and die. Now, you might think that would make Terry a bitter woman, but it didn't. Rather, it made Terry passionate about supporting Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge helps adult men and women overcome their addiction through the power of Jesus Christ. As a faith-based ministry, Teen Challenge receives no government support and yet has grown to help so many through the generous support of people like Terry, people who know firsthand the pain of loving and sometimes losing someone through addiction. Won't you join Terry and others by supporting Teen Challenge? Call 503-230-1910 today and ask for a free informative video to get acquainted with this powerful charitable effort. Help them to help others. 503-230-1910. For confidentiality reasons, Terry is not her real name.
True Talk, local live talk radio. Every weekday from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m., it's True Talk 800 a.m.
The Women of Faith Conference is coming to town.
It's going to be sensational. I love Women of Faith. It's fun and it's okay to laugh. And I love the speakers. You have got to be at this conference. You'll be encouraged, you'll be strengthened, you'll be renewed. All right, come on now.
It's emotional.
It spoke to my heart.
Refresher spirits of some of America's best-known Christian speakers and thousands of other women.
I connect with other women and the music.
We're rocking in the stands.
This place is wonderful.
You will love being here.
It's so, so secure, so loved.
Sign up now.
Come on, girlfriend.
Register today by calling 1-888-49-FAITH or go online at womenoffaith.com.
Sign up now. What are you sitting there for?
Women of Faith will be at Portland's Rose Garden October 25th and 26th. Call 1-888-49-FAITH to register or visit womenoffaith.com for more information.
The client is the Appliance Center of Northwest Nashville on Southeast 8th Avenue between Division and Powell. And this time we need loud music and echo chambers. Boy, boy, boy.
Wait, that's not the way they do things at Northwest Nashville Appliance Center.
No big mark-em-up so we can mark them down sales?
Nope. They carry on one of the best quality products, and a big part of the reputation is built on their staff of the most knowledgeable and experienced people in the biz.
Well, I know they sell more fireplaces and barbecues than anyone else, but commercials need loud music and echo chambers.
No, especially since folks can get $200 off on Cozy Heat fireplaces. Just think how great having a Cozy Heat fireplace would be this winter. Cozy Heat, warm and romantic.
Well, I know how my wife would go for a gas fireplace insert, especially with $200 savings from the Appliance Center of Northwest Nashville. So how do we end this?
By saying nobody knows gas appliances like the professionals at Northwest Nashville on Southeast 8th Avenue between Division and Powell.
And no echo chambers.
No.
Back to Mary Sterrett on True Talk 800 AM.
Well, we're talking about manners this afternoon with the author of Choosing Civility. Welcome back. I'm Mary Sterrett. This is True Talk 800 AM. Where have all the manners gone? Certainly
we're not teaching them to our kids. It certainly doesn't seem that way. Our guest is a professor at Johns Hopkins University. He teaches courses on Italian literature and on civility. And again, the name of the book is Choosing Civility. It's published by St. Martin's Press. Our guest, Dr. Pier Massimo Forni, PM Forni for short. Dr. Forni, can you talk a little bit about respecting other people's time, one of the 25 rules for considerate conduct that you list in your book?
Yes, very often we are very loose about time, especially the time of others. And we are not civil until we come to consider the time of others as precious as our own. We are very good when it comes to our own time to consider it as something to treasure. But for some reason, we think that the time of others is something to ransack. For instance, something very typical is, I'm talking to a friend of mine, and we'll decide that we'll see each other tomorrow at 10. And the friend of mine will say, well, okay, that's all right. We'll see you then, we'll see each other then around 10.
Hmm.
Now, it seems like a small thing, but it shows a rather loose respect of the time of others. If we say 10, let's stick to 10. Don't make it just convenient for you to wiggle out of the agreement. And time is one of our most precious resources. And when we respect time, we respect others.
You say to respect other people's space as well. How so?
Yes, indeed. That's another important resource. Our space, our territory, is something precious, and we are, again, very often cavalier about space. It has happened to me recently in the last 6 months that two delivery persons have come into my office, opening the door without knocking on the door, and just coming in, waltzing in, to deliver a package. And when I have turned to them and in the most tranquil of way that I could master, I told them, I wish you would have knocked on the door. They looked at me and said, why? They really did not know. It's not that they did something out of spite. It was done out of ignorance of a simple rule of the respect of the space of others. We have an imaginary bubble of territory that we have around us that should be respected, that people should not invade. In order to pierce that bubble, people should do rituals of respect and say, may I come in? Very often, this is not done anymore, and many people find that disquieting.
I know what you're saying, and people really do tend to just push beyond that boundary, and it's very disconcerting. You suggest that we be considerate guests. So how would we do that?
To be considerate guests?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, it's a case in which you are in somebody else's territory, and it is a very good time to put into service all that you were taught, or you should have been taught, about respect, about consideration for others. Trying to, for instance, follow the routine of the house when it comes to the time to get up in the morning, the time to go to sleep at night. If you are a good guest, a house guest, you should not go uninvited into private rooms of the house. You should not go into a private study and start sorting out somebody else's correspondence, somebody else's mail, somebody else's books, or CDs. You should not go uninvited into the cellar. You should have just, an awareness, a modicum of awareness of where your space ends and where the space of others begin, and act in accordance with that.
You suggest we avoid personal questions. What's the personal question?
Well, there are many kinds of personal questions that are let's say indiscreet, that they show a lack of discretion. They are usually questions about religion, about one's faith, about age, about illness or health and things of that sort. Again, we are very cavalier very often when it comes to personal questions today because we think that it's just in a society of equal, we can just be informal. But it depends on the context. You don't ask a person that you have just met, for whom did you vote? Are you a liberal? Are you a conservative? How much do you make? How much did this cost? How much is your monthly mortgage payment? These are questions that are invasive. Some of these questions get answered naturally in the progression of an acquaintance or a friendship. They should not be a barrage at the very beginning of one's knowledge of somebody else. You should stay away from them. Even questions like, do you date? Why not? Why don't you have any children? It used to be self-evident to previous generations that these questions should not be asked. I remember reading once in a Victorian book of manners that even the question, how are you, or how is your brother, was considered slightly indelicate. Now, we may smile at that today and we consider that very dated, but they would advise these Victorian writers of manners to say, I trust your brother is well.
Mm-hmm.
In order not to sound inquisitive, not to sound unduly curious. Now, I'm not saying that we should follow that, but we should pay attention to the lesson that is that, the lesson of gracefulness, the lesson of the delicacy that is inherent in such an attitude.
One of the rules that you suggest we follow is to refrain from idle complaints. Of course, do not grumble. Do you think we've gotten into a sort of a complaining mode?
Yes, often we are. Now, complaining is human, and if kept within reasonable boundaries, it can be also beneficial. We need to find some relief from stress, and some mild complaining is all right. It is all right as long as we don't use it to drag others into our misery. When we do that, then we have gone too far. And there are people that constantly complain. It is almost a pathological way of reacting to the hardships of life. They complain with their family members, they complain at work, they complain with friends. Complaining becomes a defining characteristic of their personality. And I think this is not good. This also induces pessimism, and pessimism, among other things, is not very good for your health, mental and otherwise.
Something else you say we should do is to think twice before asking for favors. What do you mean by that?
Well, very often, favors are part of what a friendship is. But friendship should be more than that. Friendship should be about the pleasure that we derive by being among friends. It should not be just an opportunity to ask for favors. We should avoid asking for favors, again, as a system of life, as a systematic way of ransacking other people's goodwill and energy. Asking for favors can be a form of laziness, a form of avoiding doing our own work. And we can distort and betray the real meaning of friendship, and that's what concerns me about favors. Let's go to asking for a favor as a last resort in an emergency, when something very important is at stake and we really cannot do it on our own, but not just as a matter of conveniency. Friendship should not be about asking a favor of a friend just because it's convenient and because we can avoid a little bit of investment of energy and time.
Well said. They're just a few of the 25 rules of considerate conduct that you find in the book. It's little. It's been called a small but mighty book. And I'll tell you, this would be a book worth investing in. Of course, you have to be real careful when you give it to someone. They might be concerned that you're accusing them of having bad manners, but it really is a wonderful book. Unfortunately, I think the people who are most likely to read it are people who don't need it, but it would be a great book to give to a young person or somebody who's not quite sure the rules of the road. The name of the book is called Choosing Civility. It's been called a toolkit for good manners. Dr. Forney, I certainly appreciate it. It's going to be really hard for me to do the rest of my show now that I know some of the rules that I've been breaking.
You're most welcome, and I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about civility that is so much connected with the quality of our lives.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.